various assessments that we give. And this one is for assessing our English language learners. There wasn't a lot of discussion on this motion. A lot of times, if you don't have a lot of discussion, either things are pretty unanimous or they've been hashed out so well in committee and that was the case with this one, that there wasn't a lot of division.
Not controversial
division.
Is this then the contract with, you pick a group basically to handle the testing on it or something
else? We contract with a company who creates the assessment or that we purchase the assessment from.
And then that's how given you measure in the schools. English language proficiency,
right.
Basically.
Yes. The acquisition for non-native English speakers.
Okay. Gotcha. Just want to make sure we were clear on that. And then I wanted to ask you about 7.4b, adopt proposed revision of Rule 24, regulations for certification endorsements.
Yes. So we have been constantly revising Rule 24. One revision on that I'm particularly pleased with is we had changed it before. If a teacher wanted, this is endorsements. And so if a teacher wanted to add endorsements, they had to take 30 credit hours of coursework. And one thing that we changed in that bill or in that rule was that a current teacher who's already demonstrated competency in teaching can add endorsements two ways now. You can take the coursework or they can take the content area test and show that they have that knowledge of that subject matter, and then they can add endorsements. That's particularly helpful for teachers who maybe just need to teach one section, say the biology teacher, we need them to teach one section of algebra. They can quickly add a math endorsement with very little expense to the teacher or time if they can do that. So, and then another thing that we did is in 2015, the department had removed the kind of a standalone endorsement for speech and theater. So if you wanted to be a speech or theater teacher, you had to also get another endorsement, say English. And that was in 2015. And then just 2 years ago, UNK had removed some of their coursework and some of their speech and theater requirements, and it had changed their program. And because of that, I think that's when people realized that we didn't have the standalone speech and theater endorsement. And so every month we had a lot of speech teachers and future speech teachers coming and giving us public comment that they would really like us to bring that back. And so we did bring that back so that they can become endorsed in just speech and theater if that's what they would like.
Okay. All right, good explanation there. And down to 8.1, set preschool development grant funds and subcontract to fulfill grant requirements.
Sure. So I voted against this one. We had delayed it by a month because there were several of us board members who weren't really certain on what it was going to do. And so that gave us another month to study it. And unfortunately, during our board meeting, we had the staff member who had brought this agenda item and was asking us to approve it, had her come up, and she was not able to explain what the purpose of this was. So it's no wonder that as board members,
it's hard to vote which you're not sure.
And then when I asked her, I had asked her, you know, what are three decisions or things that would change in the next 12 months if we approve this? And she couldn't even answer that question. And then she said, well, I'm probably not the best person to talk about this. And I thought, well, then if you don't know, you know,
if she doesn't know, I can't. Send a person that can give us the information or request.
Or why are you bringing us? Why do you want us to prove something that you don't understand? So I did ultimately vote against it. Because if they don't know, then I can't feel confident knowing what we're even doing here.
Will that come back on the next meeting agenda?
I do not think it will unless she revises it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. 8.2, another action item is SEP Mental Health Service Professional Demonstration Grant funds and subcontract to fulfill grant requirements. And this one lost, and you voted right. no for it right. on the motion to accept the Mental Health Service Professional Demonstration Grant funds. And subcontract to fulfill grant requirements. Can you put that in straight English straight for English. Us?
So what we have here, I think that there's actually two agenda items like this, the very next one too. Mm-hmm. What we have is two different situations that I kind of want to explain. Yeah. First of all, this situation this past month really highlighted a practice of the department that's probably not a best practice, and that is applying for different grants, and then when they bring it to us, mm-hmm. not only has the department been awarded the grant, so they're asking us to accept it, but they've already put out applications to other people to receive those sub-grants. And so that's not a best practice because there's an assumption that the board is going to accept the grant. And so all of the sub-grantees believe that they are getting that money.
By subcontract or subgrantees, are you saying they've already pinpointed where the money's gonna going to flow?
Yes.
Assuming that you approve
yes.
the grants.
So basically. There's a lot of assumptions, and we know okay. that's never very good. And okay. so there's been some conversations as far as administratively, how do we make this better? Is this a mm-hmm. two-step process that needs to occur mm-hmm. In the future? So that's one thing that was highlighted. And then last year, actually about this time, we had a mental health grant that was also denied mm-hmm. for $250,000. And at that time, the four members who voted against it expressed a lot of concern that we don't have a specific policy about how mental health is delivered in our schools. And so every school, as one board member says, it's kind of the Wild West out there. Everybody kind of does whatever either they want or their school psychs or mental health therapists do. And we feel like if we're going to be accepting money and distributing it, then we need mm-hmm. to have some policies over that. And my big concern that I always voice is so often these grants do not include the parents. And I think that's very important. So last year, we expressed we need some policies, and different measures were taken by some of our board members to say, here's some programs that show that they're mm-hmm. actually making gains, because that's another thing that we had yeah. noticed. During COVID, the State Department received $14 million in mental health money that we spent toward mental health, mm-hmm. and we have no metrics to show how it's improved students' mental health, and that's actually in line with some of the studies that I've seen. There was one out of the University of Sydney where they put 1,000 students, half of them received a regular health class and the other half had mental health treatment. Things like mindfulness, reframing mm-hmm. negative events in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And after that, they reported worse relationships with their parents, increased depression and anxiety, and they were less emotionally regulated. And there's many studies, and I know we don't have time to go into all of them. But yeah. ultimately, what we were concerned about is it's misleading to parents and schools if we give them this money only to do things that aren't actually helping students. And so we want a policy. We want to look more carefully at what does help students versus what is just throwing money at a problem.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And then you could just lump the last thing, 8.3, right in, basically.
Absolutely.
Very yep. similar, right, with mm-hmm. accepting the school-based mental health services mm-hmm. grant funds there and a subcontract to fulfill grant right. requirements. Yeah, I agree with you. You need to have policy on it before right. you're accepting grant funds, and then just – and then how do you choose where the money goes to right. if you say
well and that's definitely a function of the department mm-hmm. that they would choose where that money goes mm-hmm. but I think we need to understand how we understand that our kids are in a mental health crisis and we want to help them, but we also want to make sure that we're doing things that actually help them. And in like this study from Australia, we don't want to leave them less emotionally regulated with long-term. They said that they reported poorer relationships with their parents even after 6 months. So we don't want to damage our kids more. And so I think we need to spend a little more time looking at that rather than just saying, well, it's free money. We should take it.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be the automatic kind of springboard reaction to those
things.
It's like, don't let that money go away.
Right.
Got to take it. But then sometimes it's not spent for the best outcomes, for sure. Elizabeth Tegmeyer has been our guest this morning, State Board of Education. Your next meeting coming up in Bellevue, I see, on May 7th and 8th.
That is correct. We do like to move our meetings around a couple times throughout the year. And so we'll be in Bellevue in May and then actually out in Scotts Bluff October 1st and 2nd.
Oh, okay. So mark that down if you want to head out there. And the meetings, you put those on online. They can watch it live or in the archive them too, right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So you can just go straight to the Nebraska Department of Education website and click on State Board and you'll get to our meetings. They're live streamed, and then they are, like you said, archived.
Yep. All right. And just go to the State Board of Education website, Google that, and that's what I did, and you'll find it. It'll be sitting at the top of the page. Click on it, and pretty easy to navigate there, too. So
yeah, and there are actually a lot of resources. And before we log off, I do want to encourage people. We are accepting nominations for the 2027 Teacher of the Year. So if somebody knows a current Nebraska teacher, you don't have to be a parent of a child. You can be a neighbor, a friend. Go ahead and nominate them. And yeah, we like to get a lot of nominations. And this current year is a teacher out of Mullen, Nebraska.
So, yes, I heard that. Yes, I did see that a while back. That's great. Thanks, Elizabeth, for stopping by this morning. And happy travels. And good luck with your presidency of the State Board of Education, okay?
Right. Thank you.